May be seated. Thank you, praise team, for leading us in that celebratory praise music today, right? So grab your outline this morning. Let's look at our message for today as we start our message here with the idea of serving the Lord with gladness. I put on the outline there the day of thankfulness, and two passages we're going to look at this morning that are in your outline: Psalm 100 verses 1 through 3, and Second Thessalonians chapter 1 verses 3 through 5. I printed them both in your outline so you could have them there. You can look through and you can open your Bibles, but we have them there. First, we're going to look at Psalm 100 verse 1. Through three, and look at what God's word says to us this morning. Read along with me on that. Here's what Psalm 100 says. It says, "Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are the people. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." Now, as you would look at that, you would notice we're God's, right? That's what the Psalm's about. That's what he's talking about, that we are God's. You know, all thanksgiving, all praise, all glory is due because of that, right? That we're God's. We are his. We are God's people. We are the sheep of his pasture. Yes, it is God who's made us. He's the creator. The Lord himself created us, right? We know that through the word of God, that he's the creating agent of creation. The Lord Jesus Christ was over the creation. But, you know, God made us also by faith in him, through the grace of God, that we could put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing him, believing in him, trusting in him. He has made us his people. We are in Christ. We are his chosen people, his holy nation. And in Christ, we have triumphed over our sin. We have triumphed over eternal death. We are God's. And that's what the psalmist is saying. We give all thanksgiving, all praise, because we are God's. The psalmist says in verse 1, shout joyfully to the Lord. The word shout joyfully there in the Hebrew, it's a shout of triumph. Could you woohoo with me today? It's a shout of triumph that in Christ we've triumphed over sin and death. That we triumphed in this, that we are God's holy people, we're God's chosen people, we are his, the sheep of his pasture. It made me think of Psalm 19:1 where it says, the heavens are telling of the glory of God. And we looked at this last week. That's what we're doing, shouting joyfully. We're telling of the glory of God. We're telling of who Christ is and what God has done as God's people. That's who we are. It's a woo-hoo. Most of us are to do that. It made me think of my cow. Now, don't get offended here. But I have 13 acres and I have a cow. And so that's my pasture. And that's the cow of my pasture. And each time that cow sees me, he shouts joyfully, "Mrrr." He does every time. It's like, that's the owner of me. That's who owns me. That's who feeds me. That's who nourishes me, that cares for me. He knows that, and he sees me, and he lets me know. We call him hungry because that's what he seems to always be mooing about. But I'm not calling us cows, but we are the sheep of God's pasture. We love him. He loves us. And every time that we recognize in our life the Lord's triumph in our life, the psalmist says, I shout joyfully to the Lord. That in our life, each and every time that we recognize that because of the triumph of Christ, we can serve him or love him or care about others or give the truth to our children or care about the people that are in our life or live in a holy manner or deal with my sin or repent or be reconciled, all the things that because we triumph in Christ, we can shout joyfully like all the earth. Second, he said, come before him with joyful praise. You know, what a privilege. Think of that with me for a moment. We can come before the Lord. The Hebrew here is the idea is come before him. It's before his face. We come before the presence of God because we are him. We are his. We come before the face of God each and every day in our lives. The presence of him each and every day. We come singing joyfully, raising our song to Him. That's our life, a worship and praise of each day. This morning, you came before the Lord when you woke up, before the presence, the face of God, as His own people, as His sheep, as the illustration, the cow, shouting joyfully the triumph that you have this morning because of Jesus Christ, singing joyfully because of the presence of God, because who He is in our life and relational that you have with God. Thirdly, the psalmist says in verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. You are God's people, His flock, have triumphed. You're to tell them to Him, come before His face with joy of praise and serve the Lord with gladness. That's a privilege. That's an honor. That's a calling. That's what we celebrate today. That's what the church is about, the body of Christ, what this family of God is about. It's about serving the Lord with gladness. It's about coming before Him with joyful singing. It's about shouting of the triumph of Christ in our life. It's to be serving Him in that way. I have triumphed in the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been brought near to God by that. I've been made into His precious people and able to serve the Lord. So in our sharing today, in our message today, in our celebration today, the focus is that we can serve the Lord in gladness, that we can because of what God has done, and we do, and we're recognizing it today. We're celebrating it today. So let's give an opportunity for a couple to hear from today, a couple that we'll start with. Sam Kloss is going to come up, and then David Henderson, and they're going to share about the youth ministry, about serving the Lord that takes place in youth ministry. First, Sam's going to share, and then David's going to share a little bit about what goes on in Sunday school.
Good morning. It is my privilege to serve with the youth ministry. I'm involved with mostly this Wednesday night, and then sometimes I fill in Sunday mornings when Dave and Debbie and Keith and Mary Lou are involved with that. And it is a privilege. It is a chance to serve our youth. And like this morning, our goal for the youth is that they would have their own faith, that they would know that God is in their heart, that God is for them, that we are people of God, because they will be challenged. They will be challenged when they go to school, college, or work. You know, they may say, you know, this life is a mistake. It happened by chance. So it is a privilege to be able to serve. Briefly, I can tell you, this is the Awana site, and we strive for unity with the youth, and Wednesday night we do study the Awana curriculum. Scott and Christy and Josh have been helping me, Josh Cox. Answer to prayer this year is Tony and Lynn and Edith Cox are going to be involved, and we're going to split the junior high and high school because we're going to have more kids, we think. It's answer to prayer because we have the leaders now. You know, it is exciting to see how many kids we get at Wednesday night. It's just not the church kids either. It's kids from the neighborhoods, from friends that are brought in from, Springville or wherever they come. It's been exciting to see how Wednesday night's just grown. And if you have any questions about what we're doing, awana.org, and then we could go through it a little bit. Richard, can you guys see that? We believe that the Bible, both the Old and New Testament, is supernaturally inspired. And then it just shows you that, you know. We could go to God, what it believes about God. I don't know if you can see that. It talks about how God is... He reveals Himself in three persons, you know. And it just... There's a lot there with the website. If you're interested in it and what we're teaching, It really is based on just totally what God would have us believe in. And then God the Son. We believe that Jesus Christ was fully God in the flesh and fully man, that he was born of a virgin and that he lived a sinless life. So if there's anything you want to look at, you can go on that website. It also talks about scholarships that are possible if you go to certain colleges. And those colleges are the ones that, to me, are the ones that, for a Christian, if you want to go to a Christian school or something, those scholarships kind of affirm what we're teaching because of the schools that are offering the scholarships. So on Wednesday night, usually what we do is we have fellowship, games, do memory verses and prayer, and then we'll do a teaching. It's all in about an hour and a half. So within that, it's not a whole lot of time for the teaching. But the memory and all that, for the parents of the people that are involved with that, it takes time to memorize. And so I would encourage you to encourage your children to work on the memory verses and get it in their hearts. And that's pretty much what it talks about Wednesday night. Another thing, Dave will come up and talk to you about Sunday morning. But another thing that's been going on with the youth has been the Saturday Night Alive. And what that is we get together about once a month. In fact, this coming Friday, the youth will come together. And what they're doing is they're serving at the Porterville Pregnancy Center for the dinner. Our youth group has been doing that for years. It's really a light to the whole community because our youth go and serve at that. They're going and taking their time and serving, cleaning up, being part of it, really an outreach. So then they'll go and do different things. There's some fun things they do. It's not all about serving, but it's surprising how much they like it. They really, really like it. They are excited to go and do it, and which is a sign of what type of kids we have. We are really blessed in this church to have some great, great kids. Another thing that we'll do, and this is the first time we did it, is we went and had a camp out, and I just want to share a little bit about that. One of the things was we study on Wednesday night about memory stones, and we all collected up memory stones and threw them in a pile, and then went up and grabbed it. And I grabbed this one, and it says, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." And that's something I'll treasure. You know, this is really neat because it was a lot of fun up there. I was exhausted after I got done with the camp out, but it was some of those times that I won't forget, and this will remind me of that. I just encourage everybody, if you don't have kids or whatever, ask me, and we'll try to get you involved with the youth group. It's I know that Cindy was sharing about the TNT. Well, the TNT have this competition coming up, and they need coaches for the little ones, third through sixth graders. You need coaches still? And what that is a competition. I think Gracie Nation won it last year, and that's impressive for a church our size to go up against these larger churches, and she wins it all. I mean, that's pretty cool. And that's the type of thing that maybe you're an older person or something and you don't see where you could be involved. Well, there is places that you could be involved. And I just encourage you to do that. So, all right, thank you.
Thank you, Sam.
a lot to be thankful for. I want to thank, first of all, all the partners, the church family, the parents, Keith and Mary Lou and Debbie. Tremendous amount of work putting the curriculum together. And so we look at both the historical and modern perspective of Scripture, Hebrew and Greek, and study of hermeneutics. And supposed to say? Thank you. No, we don't do that. We do have a lot of fun, though. Gosh, I think we're up to almost 20 students in the high school, and we bring in those 7th and 8th graders. We do have a lot of fun in there. It is a structured class, and I try to disrupt that as often as I can so that we can get some other things taught. But the curriculum, the students have access to it. The parents have access to it. There's a letter that went home that will be in the students' hands today. And there's some homework at the bottom of it with some scripture memory in there, and the scripture, or not scripture memory, but some reading it. We're going to focus on Ephesians 4, 17 to 5, 10. And I'm just going to read what we've finished with. And we're talking about the mind of Christ and how that applies to us as individuals. Deuteronomy 6, 4 starts up, says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts." And it goes on and continues how we're to bring Scripture into the everyday activities of our life. And so we're talking about Psalm 100, and God is our creator. So what? Well, does a creator have a right to who we are and how we live and how we think? We are his people. So what? Well, that gives us possession to the King of Kings. That makes us royalty. That's so what? In Ephesians, it talks about some of our behavior and language and thoughts that are improper for God's people. That's the so what. We have so many things to be thankful for that, first of all, that the church family, that those of you that are in attendance are serious about your faith. And you know how easy that makes it to teach. There is a challenge, however. You know, when we come from, quote, good families, we talk about this. I kind of remind the students there aren't any good families. We're all weird. And all the little weird things that you don't think anybody knows about that go on in your family, you know, when mom or dad, you know, really, you know, or brother says, yeah, we all have those. They look different in different families, but we're all weird. But we have a common ground that we can come to, and that's the truth of God's word. And so we have the right to appeal to brothers and sisters in Christ, and we have the right to so what, to ask, is that behavior really what exemplifies a son or daughter of the living King? And so we try to make it something that's fun. We talk about fishing, we talk about the books you read, we talk a little bit about sports. You know, there was a message in the song today. I think that I buy the boxes of shells for dove hunting that don't have any pellets in it, because that song, "One Glad Morning," what? All fly away. And the birds, they just fly away. And I think Fish and Game has me out there to make all the birds sporting for everybody else. But you know, we do. We see pictures of deep sea fishing. Sam, why are you wearing camouflage deep sea fishing? You know, the fish can't see you. Yeah, but the books that they read, Legos, animals, but then we bring it hopefully into the reality that we are imperfect people. We are sinners by nature, and we're sinners by choice. And thankfully, that's not where we have to stay. And God has made that provision for us, and part of it is the renewing of our mind so that we can fill our mind and our hearts and our attitudes and hopefully grow and then encourage one another, because all our families are weird, but we're all members of the body of Christ. And that's so what, right?
So what, dude?
Okay, say what.
So we're thankful for the serving going on in the youth ministry, and We ought to all drop in on David's class one day so we can participate in some of that. Sounds very interesting and dynamic on the teaching. So thank you guys for sharing today. Let's look at our next passage. It's on the back of our outline. If you look at that with me, pick this one also. The two passages I picked just to prompt our heart and our gratitude and thankfulness for this day and our recognition of the serving that goes on abundantly here. Here Paul is writing to a family of God that really gets it. Really, that's who he's writing to, a church that centers their life on God's word, centers their life on following the Lord, on serving Him, and being a testimony of Christ. And listen to what he writes to them about. This is the second letter that he wrote to them, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3 through 5. He writes this: "We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brethren. That is just only fitting, because your faith is greatly enlarged, and the love of each one of you toward one another grows ever greater. Therefore, we ourselves speak proud of you among the churches of God for your perseverance and faith in the midst of all your persecutions and afflictions which you endure. This is a plain indication of God's righteous judgment, so that you will be considered worthy of the kingdom of God, for which indeed you are suffering." We have to always thank God for you, for this church. It's a church that you could be proud of, a church family that's growing, that's maturing, that's caring for one another, that's ministering to each other, that's giving to the Lord's work, that's sharing Christ, that's wanting people to be saved, that's serving the Lord with gladness. That's what this church is. That's who he's writing to. He spent some time there, not a whole lot of time there. He's written a letter before. If you look at verses 3 through 5 in 1 Thessalonians, it's really something very similar to this. And he's saying he gives thanks to God for you. Listen to what we're doing here. He's thanking God for his brothers and sisters in Christ. He's thanking God for his church family. We should do that often, it says in the text. We should recognize each other in our hearts, the service and growth and giving that's going on in the body of Christ. So look at me for a moment. Do you often each day thank God for you looking around? Do you thank God for the church family? Do you speak proud of them? Do you talk about the ministry going on? Do you talk about the growth going on, the faith going on? I mean, Sam, isn't that what you were sharing about? You know, and in the life of the church, in the life of the youth, we have these youth that want to dig into the Word of God, that desire to grow in their faith in God, desire to attend on Wednesday and on Sunday and learn and grow, and their faith is growing, is it not? And their love for each other is growing. God's at work in their life, and we are to thank God for the brothers and sisters of Christ. He says we ought to always. Ought, there's a really interesting word. It means you have a debt. You have a responsibility to do so, to say thank God for you. He says that's it's only fitting. It's only right. It's okay to speak proudly of God's work within the church family and thank God for them. It's God-focused. You know, people ask me a lot as being a pastor here, and I'm within the community, and they say, "So, Ken, how's it going at church? How's it going there?" And I say, just like David, we're just a bunch of crazies, and we're all odd and all that. But I say, you know what? God's at work. People are growing in their faith. The young people are acknowledging Christ. Some of the other ones are growing in their love for one another or ministering to each other. God is at work. I say that each and every time. I thank God for the family of God that I belong to. And let me encourage you a little bit. Sometimes we need to be helped in that focus. We're all human. We're all who we are. And sometimes we can get our heart and mind on the criticalness of things, of the failures that we have, of the stumbles that we make. I've offended people. How about you? You can focus on that. You can focus on the stumble, or that didn't really grow the greatest, or that didn't happen the best, or this thing didn't happen, or you can focus on what Paul focuses on. These people here are no different than me and you that he's writing to here. They're not special. They're not better. Chapter 2, verse 13 says, "We should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. It was for this he called you through our gospel, that he may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." That's who we are. Saved by grace, called by God, living the life we're living. We stumble, we have shortcomings, but we're growing and maturing, and we ought to always give thanks to God for that and thank Him. Megan Heider is going to share with us what's going on in the nursery ministry right now, a lot of different kind of things in that nursery ministry and how it functions and how it serves the Lord. Where are you at, Megan? There she is.
Nursery council members are coming up here to join me. They said they would. That's okay. I'm all right. I was glad when Ken asked me to share and told me that the nursery ministry had made the schedule for today for a couple of reasons. First of all, if any of you have been over to the nursery, you might have noticed that there's been lots of changes, and we're very excited about the elders and the finance committee working with us to make that happen. And I wanted to thank all of you for giving so that that could happen. I'll talk about the changes that we've made over there in a few minutes. But also, I wanted to touch a little bit when Ken told me that the focus would be on Psalm 100 and shouting joyfully for the Lord and serving in gladness. It just, I thought for a minute about that, and I was thinking, what a neat example the little ones are to us and how to do that, because they do shout joyfully, and they give thanks to the Lord, and it's just such a neat, it can be such a neat time to be over there with them, and we can learn a lot from them. They like to shout, they like to sing, they like to praise the Lord. On Wednesday night in Cubbies, we had a neat praise time. And sometimes you think you might want to, like, not quite be so joyful. But it's just a precious time being over there with the little ones. So, well, I'll talk about that in a minute, too. And serving the Lord with gladness. I know this not so much with the little ones, but I have been really encouraged by our youth in the summer and their desire to serve others and to serve and to do God's work, and the way that they raise money for the missions project for VBS, and the little ones like to do that too. I see that in my own home. So I would just encourage you guys to get involved with the little ones, because they can be such a neat example to us of how to do this and what this looks like. So moving on, we've had a renovation in the nursery. We have new carpet, we have fresh paint, we have a shelving unit in the baby room so that all the toys are up off the floor and the carpet can be vacuumed easily and we can keep things a little cleaner. We've put in a Dutch door in between the entrance in the baby room and where the actual play area is. And so we're keeping the door closed to traffic so there isn't a lot of feet through there bringing in yucky stuff. There's a pass-through door and a sign-in sheet there, and so we're excited about that, keeping our area cleaner. We have new ceiling tiles, got rid of all the water stains, and new linoleum in the bathrooms. So we're excited about a fresh look in the nursery. So if you haven't had a chance to check it out, please do so. Still to come, we're looking for some kind of a storage unit outside. We've been talking about that to store some of the outdoor toys that previously had been stored in the bathroom. So we're looking for something like that for the tractors and different things. We have some bulletin boards that were up and were taken down for the painting that we still need to get back up. And then we're always looking for people. Volunteers, particularly youth. We have some 12 to 17-year-olds that we like to have in there to play with the little ones. If any of you are interested, we are looking to put together a list if it requires parent permission. So if anybody's interested, you can talk to myself or Melissa Davis or Emily Bowers or Pam Pedraza or Mrs. Jones. We can get you a permission slip. And it, the way that we have in mind to use anyone interested is that there would be a list posted on the wall in the nursery. And if there is a need for a young one to play with rambunctious little ones, then we can just come and call somebody. So it wouldn't be on schedule. It wouldn't be something that you would necessarily show up Sunday morning knowing I'm going to be in there today. It would just kind of be in a kind of an on-call basis. So think about that. Also, we're always looking for adult volunteers, people who are willing to serve on Sunday mornings. We are committed to providing care in the nursery for during Sunday school time for babies. The little ones that don't have a Sunday school class yet aren't old enough for the Sunday school program during Sunday morning worship service, and then also on Wednesday nights. We're looking to put together a list of people who are available to serve in there on Wednesday nights for people who are involved in the Wednesday night classes. So be thinking about that. We're going to be putting together some lists. And if you are an adult who wants to volunteer over 18 years of age, Margaret does need a background check, right, Margaret? So if you aren't already cleared, you need to see Margaret in the office to get that taken care of. But additionally, just one other thing, kind of going along with the whole topic today of serving and the Lord, what joy we can find in serving others, especially the little ones, but anybody really. And I just want to encourage you guys that working with the youth, while tiring and stressful at moments, it can give such joy. So I just want to thank everybody who is serving already, and encourage anybody who has an interest to talk to one of us. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Megan. You know, in our passage, there's a couple of words that kind of stuck out to me when I was thinking about Megan was going to share there. It was perseverance and enduring. You picked out joyful and singing. And then as a parent serving, or as an adult serving in children's nursery and in that ministry, I think of perseverance and enduring. It made me realize, you know, how much we ought to thank God for the nursery ministry. You know, that there's 50-odd-some people serving there week in and week out there, each and every week, serving, ministering, taking special care of our little ones, and caring about who they are and all of their things that they have going on, and from changing diapers to, you know, dealing with the crying ones, and then all the energy that the toddlers have. So really want to thank the Lord for the nursery ministry. Paul, in our text, also says that we're to give thanks to God for increased faith. Look at it with me in verse 3. He says this: "We have to always give thanks to God for you, brethren, as it's only fitting, because your faith is greatly enlarged." He's saying, you know, we're giving thanks to God because faith is increasing. Greatly enlarged sounds big, doesn't it? It is big. It's huge. We're studying that with faith that perseveres in the adult Sunday school. We just started looking at that. But you know what? Our faith is enlarging. In this family of God, faith is increasing. It's increasing all the time. A trust in the Lord, a belief in God, a belief in Him, a belief in His Word, His way. Faith, trusting in God. By a show of hands, is your faith increasing? It is, right? That's the life of God. That's what we're living in. That's what God is doing. And we ought to always give thanks for that God is at work growing our faith. It's not always easy, is it? You can see in the text, it's through some very difficult things, a lot of difficult circumstances where our faith grows, where our trust in the Lord. And we thank God that He grows our faith, that He's increasing our trust. It's growing greatly. Reminds me of 1 Peter 1, 6 through 7, where Peter writes, "In this way you greatly rejoice, even though for a little while, if necessary, you've been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor and revelation of Jesus Christ." Our faith is precious, isn't it? Proved in our life. That God is at work in our life, growing our trust and faith in Him and Christ and who He is, why He came, what He did. Oh, how we ought to give thanks to God for our faith. Thinking about that often. Sometimes for the first time faith. Thanking God for a first time belief, a trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, to where it continually grows. It's very relational. Next, Paul says, we give thanks to God for a growing love among us. Look at verse 3 again. He says, because your faith is greatly enlarged and your love of each one of you toward one another grows even greater. We need to thank God for the growing love within the body of Christ. It's abounding love. It's not emotional, so to speak. It can be, but it's relational. That's what he's talking about, a love for each other that is with sacrifice, with serving, and with giving. And it's growing. It's growing within this church, within the body of Christ. We celebrate that. It's like growing a healthy plant. That happens here. As you grow in your trust in the Lord, relational with the Lord, as you grow in your belief and trust in Him and serving Him and honoring His word, you serve Him with gladness out of relationship with Him. It tills the ground, it waters the soil of you and of others, and grows your love toward one another. God does that. Look at verse 4, what He says. Therefore, we ourselves speak proudly of you among the churches of God for your perseverance and faith in the midst of all your persecutions and afflictions which you endure. They're standing for the Lord in the midst of whatever there is in their life, whatever trouble, whatever afflictions, whatever persecution, whatever trial, the difficulties that you have, that I have, that we all have. Standing for the Lord. And he says your perseverance and your faith, better word, faithfulness, in the midst of all of your difficulty is a plain indication. Is a reference of the persevering hope that you have in your life. That's what we celebrate today, as we celebrate ministry and we celebrate, you know, what goes on here, and we serving and loving one another, and we step back on this one Sunday and share some of the ministries going on. This is thinking about celebrating that God is at work within the body of Christ.
Relationship with Him and then with others. And so in spiritual mothering, we're concentrating on women, relationships between women. And we're also to serve our Lord and serve each other. So in spiritual mothering, those aren't mutually exclusive. We can think of, oh, we have to learn all about God and then we can, you know, serve Him. Or we, you know, learn all about this person and then we can serve them. But we're finding out that they're not. You can do them all at the same time. And in these groups, we're practicing with each other, learning how to build relationships and how to give of yourself, as the Lord calls us to do. And one of the things about being in the group is, as you get to know each other and you get to practice, you also go out and practice out in the world, out beyond our little group. And as one of the stories in our book at the very beginning said, a woman was going to a rest home to minister to and encourage an older woman, and then she found out how blessed she was because this woman blessed her with all that she knew about the Lord and how it touched her life and her life history in the Lord and all of this. So we're finding out that we can learn together, minister to each other, practice so that we can minister to others outside of our group, and just forging lifelong relationships that the Lord is going to use to bless others. So if you're not plugged into one yet, get in contact with Bobby and is it Jody too? That get in contact with them and we'll get you in a group. And it doesn't matter. It's going to be going on for over a year. So we have lots to learn, and you can just jump right in and start wherever we are. And learn how to spiritual mother. One of the other things that we found out was it's not always the older woman might not be older than you, that we can all be ministered to as a daughter. I can, or I could minister to a daughter. So it's not that, you know, we have these rigid things. It's a back and forth. And that's what all relationships are, aren't they? A back and forth, a giving and taking. And we're doing this all with the Lord's help and using His word. So I encourage you to get involved.
Hello, I'm Christy Mabbs, most of you know me. I told Ken I don't get a buddy. I'm like, I want a buddy up here like you've had then. Well, Pastor Ken gave us these scriptures that he was going to be preaching on earlier in the week, actually a couple of weeks ago, and the one that stood out to me was the 2 Thessalonians 1:3-5. It's in your bulletin there. We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brethren, as is only fitting, because your faith is greatly enlarged, and the love of each one of you toward one another grows ever greater. And then on down there it says, for your perseverance, and then down and about the kingdom of God, and just how, you know, I was thinking about children's ministry in particular, obviously, and just how as our faith, our individual faiths grow, how that inevitably will trickle into our relationships, and you really see that happening here at Living Word. It's a beautiful thing. I just wanted to go through children's ministry. We basically have, you know, we have Awana on Wednesday nights, and we have Sunday school on Sunday mornings. We obviously have VBS. I appreciate so much the leadership just really getting behind children's ministry and youth so much. So I've shared about those before. I want to try to touch on a few things maybe I haven't shared. And also the bulk of our children's ministry happens in the home. So I want to talk a little bit about that. For Awana, for Awana and Sunday school combined, we have over 30 people that serve every week somehow in children's ministry. I could be wrong. It may be 35. Every week, children are hearing the gospel. They're being challenged to know how this affects their daily life, and they see maturing faith modeled by, faith modeled by maturing believers. And relationships are being built, and those foundations are being laid, you know, as we all know, in the most formative years of a child's life. One of the things in Awana that I think, and in Sunday school, that is just a huge praise, I think, is that we've finally been able to see more consistency in our teachers and volunteers, as many are staying the course for longer than just 1 year. And I was thinking that's persevering, as Megan was talking about. I think that, you know, children are really benefiting because of that, and they benefit from that experience that you gain as you serve longer, and you develop closer relationships with those leaders. And it's definitely the same in Sunday school. You know, while teaching and serving for a year is wonderful, giftedness and enthusiasm often develop more fully with time. Also, as teachers learn the ropes, they're able to then take new steps of creatively sharing the gospel, and also can manage challenges with greater effectiveness and also just to have greater perspective. For this reason and more, we rejoice that so many are volunteering and in this area or persevering in these roles. And also another area that I think is really growing is that God is at work mightily in an area of, I just called it, giving the gospel meat. And what I mean is that teachers are wisely realizing that kids need to understand that true faith is more than just making a mental assent to the truth. It's active and relational, and it will result in fruit. And I wanted to give an example of this that I think I've gotten really excited about it. Largely because one of my children has been coming home telling me about something that has ministered to her in the last year. But in the TNT class, Cindy Dominguez has been doing this weekly teaching where she's asked different Living Word Fellowship members to come in and share like object lessons to the kids that would reinforce the gospel. So what that means is like last year she had a lot of different people. I was thinking through. She had, like, my husband, Scott, he loves fishing, so he had him come in and do thing on being fishers of men. Or she had Jody. I got to sit in and listen. Actually, I stood at the door and listened. I was being a stalker. About joy and serving, and I was so blessed by that. What true love really is. And, like, Brett McCown, I think, did a thing on farming. And just all Logan Henderson, I think, did one on, was it your bugs? And relating those things for kids, you know, breaking it down. How does this relate to the gospel? And I think that's really bearing fruit. I just think that's really neat. Another way that, you know, these teachers are wisely learning to give the gospel meat, and this has been happening for years, but Margaret Snyder this last year did the self-confrontation for kids kind of curriculum that she's written years ago. And I was blessed. Ainsley had brought this, you know, her little folder home a while ago, and I hadn't gotten to look at it yet. So I started going through it, you know, and I'm like, oh, my goodness gracious. You know, when you know Jesus, and it's just all this amazing truth that Margaret has been teaching them. And that's just been on her heart, and it's this just giving the gospel meat. And I'm so blessed by that. So I would strongly encourage you, if you're not faithfully attending Sunday school or wanted to, consider doing both. Okay, VBS. I was trying to do the math on this. We had over 60 adults and teens who served in VBS. We had averaged about 60 kids, so that's one for every child. That means that about 40% of our body somehow volunteered in VBS. I think that's incredible. VBS touched over 70 kids from our church and community, and which is neat because Richard says in Awana we have about 65 kids the average comes. So that means that those numbers are carrying on through the summer. The kids raised about $900 for India Partners Missions Project, which was fantastic. And in VBS, it's really all about challenging anybody who comes to think about the foundation that they're building their life on. Are you building your life on the Word of God and Jesus Christ, or are you basing your life on man's ideas? That's what every year has pretty much been about. This year, we have so many praises. We had 3 children express a desire to receive Jesus. Hearts were being touched and softened to the truth. The enthusiasm for learning continues to really grow as many children earnestly are seeking to know God and act attentively, trying to understand the truth. You know, someone asked me, we do a 5-week thing throughout the summer versus a 5-day VBS, or actually it was 6 weeks. Somebody asked me, well, why do you do it that way? Do you like that? Can you explain to me why you do that? So I was thinking, well, it's just kind of what we've always done. Why do we do that, and what are the benefits? And, you know, I think that whenever you teach it like that, there's more time for kids to process what is being taught. I know my kids would come home and they'd think about it, and throughout the week that lesson they'd ask questions, or I could tell, you know, it was just rather than just in 1 week completely immersing them in just, you know, a lot, it gives them a little time to think about it. It gives more time for parents to disciple and just to discuss the lessons at home. Also gives a meaningful service project to be involved in for the whole summer. So, you know, kids are getting, families can say, we're going to work on this for the summer, not just for 1 week. And it's also not as draining as a 1 week thing. I have family that does it in 1 week, and, you know, by the end of that week, they're just like, oh, you know, which is great, but I'm not quite so tired when we do it the way we do it. And then in VBS, you know, we see increasing opportunity for outreach with so many new families coming in from the community. And that really is a prayer request on how can we reach out and take that next step with those families who are coming to Awana and VBS. You know, children's ministry, the most children's ministry happens in our homes. And, you know, I'm just so blessed by so many parents and grandparents that take their roles at home seriously. We're called to disciple our kids, you know, there, you know, from all the time. But how that, when that's happening and you're involved in the body of Christ and you're really committed, how that affects one another. I was thinking about, if you weren't here last Sunday, Pastor Ken sharing about his little story with the pit bull and Cameron, and how he had to go back and ask for forgiveness from this lady. And I was, you know, my kids were talking about that this week, and I was thinking about that, and I just appreciate when we share with one another our how we've had to, you know, repent, or, you know, the whole thing, and we're modeling that for our kids and all this. I mean, that really challenged me to think about that, and how can I change in areas, and just how, or when we're serving together in VBS, we're building relationships. So, you know, maybe we're serving with someone and we get a phone call. I know that happened this summer with me. I don't know what to do here with my toddler. Do you have any counsel on how I can train in this area? I mean, that's happening all the time. And so it's so important that as we are serving together, that we recognize that there's so much more going on than we realize, but that as we're obedient, God's going to use those things to really grow his church. So I would strongly encourage any of you to, you know, to continue to plug in and just realize that there's so much, like Meg was saying, so much joy in serving. And it can be, you know, tiring, but in the end, it's just wonderful. So thank you.
So let's wrap up the service today with the final thought, and then we'll pray, and then we'll go out and we'll have lunch together and eat the pizza and have the ice cream and that. But what Paul ends up here, he says this is a plain indication of something. This is a revealing of something, that you're giving thanks to God for each other, that faith is increasing, that love is growing, that these things are happening in the midst of life, in difficult life. It's a plain indication of a family of God that has a kingdom attitude. Not our kingdom, his kingdom. And that's what Paul is referring to in that. What he's pointing out in the body of Christ to this church is that your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's a life surrendered to building the kingdom of God. It's a life that's concerned about God's kingdom, about Christ's kingdom, about people coming into the kingdom, and the people that are in the kingdom of God living in a way that represents the kingdom. That's the church. That's the body of Christ. That's the one to be proud of, to speak of. And that's the ministry here at Living Word Fellowship. That's why we do what we do. It's last week's message to the glory of God. It takes perseverance. It takes endurance. It takes commitment. It takes faithfulness. It takes steadfastness. It takes the things entrusting in the Lord, having faith in God, believing in him, and continually giving to the Lord's work in each avenue of our life, what that might be, spiritual mothering or nursery ministry or children's ministry, or it might be in youth, or it might be in teaching ministry, or in just caring for one another and different kind of things. But that's the family of God, and that's what we celebrate today. That's what we're focused on. That's what we're about. That's what we're doing. So many things to thank the Lord for. Let's go before the Lord. There's so many things, Lord. From beginning faith to being rescued, delivered from the domain of darkness, to our hearts being pierced with the truth of Christ, that beyond you doing that, we had no way to even do anything about the life and who we are before you, that it was a work of God, that you have prompted our heart, you have opened our eyes up and given us faith to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ by the grace, giving us the gift of salvation, reconciliation. I thank you, Lord, for the gift of grace in my life, in my children's life, in my grandson's life. For as diligent as I can be, or as perseverant as we can be, it is a work of you, and we want to thank you, Lord, for that. And for each and every step of faith, for each and every day that we live this life, looking for the blessed hope, the return of Christ, each day that we live for the glory of you, each day that we stumble in that process but get back up, we thank you for the privilege. We live in a world that doesn't know you, Lord. We live in a world that grows in a way more and more in hatred toward you. But you've saved us and planted us here and put us here, giving us the boundaries that we have for us to live the light of Christ in the midst that we are. You ask us to do that based on what you've done for us. It's based on what you've done for us through Jesus Christ. We thank you for each one that serves here, for the heart, attitude of this body of Christ to work to build your kingdom, and for the faith that you're growing in each one of us. All of us need to grow. I need to grow. We all do. For there's no condemnation when you reveal to our heart that you're wanting to grow somewhere and we've been obstinate or stubborn and not grown. There's just a loving, caring Father that keeps holding out the way before us. I thank you for this church family, for what you're doing here, for the love we have for one another, for the testimony of Christ. We praise you for grace upon grace that's been given to us through Christ. We pray for our time together, for the food that we'll share, for the fellowship that we'll have, and for the family love that is within us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We are dismissed. We can head out to our picnic lunch.